Okay, we are up to Melachim Beis, Perek Yutes, seventh to last Perek here in Sefer Melachim Beis, and we have the second Perek relating to Sancherev and Chizkiyahu, and we have all the way at the end of this Perek the unbelievable Nes that occurred, one of the greatest miracles that happened in the history of all of Nevi'im. So what happens in this Perek? We, if you remember, at the end of the previous Perek, Sancherev and his officer, Rav Shake, were blaspheming and cursing Hashem and sending messages back to Chizkiyahu and to the Jews. We're gonna plunder you. We're gonna destroy destroy the city. So the messengers come back to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu tears his clothing, Vayikras Begadav, and he sits on the floor and he sends El Yakim, Shevna, the Zakenim, he sends them to Yishayo Anavi, and we'll get more about that relationship at the Shem next Perek. Vayom Relov, and they say, call my Chizkiyahu to give the message to Yishayo. From Chizkiyahu, what's going to be? We don't have the koach. What's going to happen? Ula Yishma, maybe Hashem's going to hear. But how could he stand there? And he's so upset at the blasphemy. That's what he's really in pain about. And Yishayo sends back, don't worry, Altira, don't worry about the blasphemy. Hashem is going to take care. And the Navi describes implicitly that Sancherev, after having surrounded and being close to Yerushalayim, he hears that there is another attacking army attacking Ashur. Tirhaka, the king of Cush, is attacking Ashur. So Sancherev had to leave to go first defeat Tirhaka, the king of Cush, and then after that, come back to Yerushalayim. Why did he have to do that? We will, Beit Hashem, talk about it in a minute. But before he leaves, he says, Chizkiyahu, don't try anything. I'm going to be back. And don't think that your God is going to be able to save you the way that all the other gods have gone that we have conquered. That is the same way that your God will go. Chizkiyahu then starts davening. And he says, Atu Elokim Levadecha, beautiful tfilos, please listen. Please see this terrible Chil Hashem that is occurring. And all the Avodah Zarah, save us so they will realize. Yishayo ben Amotz says to Chizkiyahu, yes, your tfilos will be answered. And then Yishayo, parts of his nevuah speaks to Chizkiyahu, and parts of his nevuah speaks, so to speak, to Sancherev. Do you know who you're blaspheming? Do you know who you're pushing down? You come up to Yerushalayim, you come up to the Beis HaMikdash, and you think you're going to overtake it, and you dig trenches. You heard a little nevuah a long time ago that Asher is going to fight and come up to Yisrael, but don't think that it means that they're going to conquer Yerushalayim. You are just a pawn in the hands of God, the Pasuk says, and therefore you shall know that you are going to pay for it. He then, Yishayahu, turns to Chizkiyahu in nevuah and says, you will have a siman that everything that I'm saying is true. You will have plenty to eat, even though there is a famine now, and Klal Yisrael will again be all over Yerushalayim and multiply throughout the land. What happens then? Hashem says to Melech Ashur that you will not be able to conquer Yerushalayim. You will not fire one arrow, and neither will they. And the city will be free from your fighting. And the parak ends off. Balayla Hahu, a Malach Hashem went through the camp of Ashur, and 185,000 soldiers were killed overnight by the Malach Hashem. Sancherev was not one of the ones that were killed. He wakes up, he leaves, he goes back to Ashur, he goes back to Nineveh, and he goes into his house of worship, Beis Nisrach, and while he is there, his two sons kill him. They run to a land of Ararat, and there's a new king of Ashur that is required. So this is the Perek, exciting Perek, and let's see what we can learn from all the details of this Perek. Back to the first Pasuk. When Chizkiyahu HaMelech hears of what was going on, Vayikras Begadav, he tears his clothing. The Gemara Sanhedrin of Samach darshens from here the halacha that when one hears blasphemy of a person blaspheming God, then he has to tear his clothing. There is a machlokas. The Gemara there, we mentioned this in the last parak, assumes that Rav Shake was a Yisrael Mumar, because that's the halacha. Only from a Yisrael Mumar, his blasphemy causes Kriyas Begadim, but not from a guy. So that is one of the rights. Yerushalmi, as we mentioned, doesn't hold of that. But the Gemara also learns that when Dayanim are told of a blasphemy in court, the Edim do not have to tear their clothing again if they already tore when they first heard it. And they learn it from here, because it says here, only Vayikra es Begadav. Chizkiyahu tore his clothing, but the others, the Mazkir and Shevna, they didn't tear their clothing because they already heard it. Vayizkas pasak vayavo Beis Hashem. And he puts on sackcloth and he goes to the Beis HaMikdash. Vayishlach es Eliakim Asher Labayith, and he takes his Eliakim and Shevna, two of the three that he mentioned before, he sends them to Yishayahu. Vayomre Lov, and they say, Ka'amar Chizkiyo, they give him a message from Chizkiyo. Yom Tzara V'sochecha Una Atza. Today is a terrible day of Ni'utz. Radak says, and Bar Benel expands on it, he's not so nervous about what's going to happen, but he's just so upset and pained by the blasphemy that is going on. Kibo banim ad mashber v'koch ayin l'leida. But then he also adds, besides a blasphemy, we don't know what to do. We're starving, koch ayin l'leida, we don't have any koch. The Bar Benel says that they are, they've been without food, they've been without, koach, v'hodiyo she'rafu yidei ha'am al kolkach, v'nechlash kocham, b'shamam divrei rav shokei. Right, he's pushing them down, psychological warfare, and that's what he's doing. What's the mashal of koach ayin la leida dafka? They can't give birth! So 2 points. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, this is a reflection of Chizkiyahu's bitachon again. Why? Chizkiyahu knew they were going to win somehow. He knew there was going to be a Yeshua, just like by a Leda. The pain, you know there's a birth coming out. Just to get there. And that's what Chizkiyahu was saying. They don't have the power to push out the baby. They don't have the power. They're weak. Kach barusha Yeshua's klal Yisrael umilutam krov alavo. It's going to happen. Aval ein lanu koach laleda hainu zchus lihivashaya. V'lachein mevakish mi yishayo shi yispalel. Please, your tefila will give us a push. So please help us out with your tefillah. The Rinas Yitzchak here, Rav Yitzchak Sarotzkin, has a beautiful thought based on a gra. The gra in Avnei Eliyahu, in the commentary on the Siddur, talks about what we say in Shmona Esrei, Mish'anu Mivtach Latzadikim. What is Mish'an and Mivtach? Says the gra, Mivtach is bitachon that we are going to be saved. Mish'an is even before that, when we are depressed, when we're so scared, and we're having trouble believing, Hashem will kind of show us something in order to give us a little chizuk, to be able to get to the level of bitachon. Gamkshu miftach latzadikim abotchim bo v'nosin she'ilasam la'achar zman. Yes, bitachon means when we have the koach to ask Hashem, kodem yavo she'ilasam hu mish'an lohem, shelo yovdu bitchonam bo yisparach. So we don't lose it, like in Mitzrayim. Before they went out, there were nisim done. And also Achashverosh, kodem shenit lahaman heralem dulas Mordechai. Mordechai was taken on the horse. You already see hints. Kacha yasel ha'ish. That was before anything happened with Haman. There was a sa'ad, there was a help. And that's what Chizkiyahu was saying, even though the Yeshua was going to come, ein koach laleida, ein lanu amishan, shelo novad bitchona bo yisparak. We're at a teetering point, and we might lose the bitachon. Ein koach ayin laleida. So please help us out, Yeshayahu, with your tefillas. Ula yishma Hashem al Hashem lekechas divrei Rav Shokei. Maybe Hashem's going to hear and act based on it to quiet the blasphemy. Please, daven for who's left. What do you mean who's left? Because the other 10 tribes were gone. Right? Remember, this was the only one. These were the only ones left. Yehuda and Binyamin. So they come and they give the message. Go tell Chizkiyahu al tira. Don't be fearful of the giduf of Melech Ashur. Pasuk Zion. Says the Abar Benel, in this one pasuk, there are 4 promises. There are 4 hints to actions that were about to be taken. Hinini nosin bo koach, I will give him a ruach. I will give him ruach. Vishama shmu avashav, and he will return. La'artso. Vihipaltiv vacherev ba'artso. What are the 4 allusions in this pasuk? Again, this pasuk is alluding to the fact that even though right now he is besieging Yerushalayim, he will soon get word, which happened right then. He will get word that there's another attacking army, Tirhaka, the king of Cush, that'll have to leave, and then he'll come back, and everybody will die, all the soldiers, and then he'll go back to his city, and then he will die there. Says the Abar Benel, the 4 phrases are alluding to this whole story. First it says, I will put ruach. What does that mean? Let's start with the beginning. Ha'achas, he didn't any know something about ruach. V'la amar zala asid, ki almasha avar, upirusho. I will give him ruach first to come to Yerushalayim. Ani nasadi bo oso haratzan v'ruach hamoshel. I give him ruach to be able to be the leader to try to attack, because this is going to lead to his downfall. Number 2, v'shama shmua. He's going to hear the shmua to go and then leave. Why? Why is that important? So the Abar Benel, right, many, the Radaker asks, why do you have to leave in the middle? Why couldn't the Nes just happen now? So the Radak says, that we can't ask about Maaseh Hashem. We don't really know, but I'll make two suggestions. Number one, so that there'll be more spoils to bring back, because he's going to bring back all the spoils. So when all the army leaves and dies, the spoils even of the other places of Cush and Mitzrayim will be there for the Jews. Number two, so the Cush and Mitzrayim captives that they probably took will also see Yad Hashem. Number three, the Abarbanel says, to be able to allow some food in. There was starvation. So Kadesh Sheyasur Mi'a Matzor Bezmanahu Ba'ofan Sheyuchlu B'nei Yisrael Ha'avil Ha'aknes Be'ir Mashi Yitztarech Aleyem Me'a Mazon V'Shar Dvarim Ha'echrechiyim Mechutz, to get a couple of other items. Before we continue the pasuk, according to the Abarbanel, the Rinas Yitzchak has another pshat. Another pshat of why he had to go and come. The Gemara describes in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Hey that Sanherib came to Yerushalayim and he was going to attack, and he shot an arrow and he shot an arrow and he went up, and finally he took view. He took in the view of Yerushalayim and he saw, this is such a small tiny city. What? I'm going to go now. His army says, let's go. He says, no, you guys are tired from the trip. Let's sleep on it and we'll do it tomorrow. And the Gemara says, why? And the next, oh, that night they all died. So what happened? Because it wasn't the time for them to be punished yet. Odaya, there was still certain kitrog on Klal Yisrael. They didn't deserve the Yeshua until the next day. So said the Rinas Yitzchak, that was also part of why they had to go and come back, because the time wasn't ripe yet for the Yeshua. But either way, back to the Abarbanel and our Pasuk. So I'm going to send him Ruach to come to Yerushalayim. Then Vishamashmua, and then he's going to leave. And then Vishav Larzo, in the singular, Shav, he. That's an allusion to the fact that all of his soldiers are going to die. And finally, what's the last one? He's going to die in his land. That's alluding to the fact that he is going to be assassinated by his own sons in the when he gets back to Ashur. So those are the four in this pasuk. So Rav Shake leaves Yerushalayim. He was besieging. He goes, finds Sancherev. He finds, and this is where they hear exactly what was just forecast about Tirhaka Melakush Leimar Hineyatza Lilachimitach. He's fighting. So Sancherev sends Malachim to Chizkiyahu. Rav Shake had blasphemed in front of the Shlichim. But Sancherib sends directly to Chizkiyahu. Al Yashiacha Elokech Asher Atapoteach Bolemar. Don't let your God seduce you and convince you that Lo Tinatein Yerushalayim B'yedei Melech Asher. It's going to happen, and he sends it to him. And he sends him in letters. And what did Chizkiyahu do? He took all the letters to the Beis HaMikdash and laid them out and said, Shashem, look what! You have to take revenge! Pasuk Yudalid, Vayikach Chizkiyahu, Es Hasvarim Miyad HaMalachim, Vayikraim. He read them. Vayal Beis Hashem, Vayifirseyu Chizkiyahu Lefnei Hashem. He spread them out in front of Hashem, as if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to stand up for your cover. So what happens now? Vayispal Chizkiyahu Lefnei Hashem, Chizkiyahu starts davening. He davened to Yishayov to daven, and Chizkiyahu davened Vayomar. Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Yoshev HaKruvim. Why is he called Yoshev HaKruvim here? Says the Mitzudas David. As if to say, he's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash with the Kruvim in it. Uka'omer, Eich imkein timsar biyadu az Yerushalayim, vayavo ha-Kruvim biyatsar, the Yoshev ha-Kruvim. And then he continues, we have a number of places in davening where it is based on this tefillah. Atahu alokim levadecha lochom amlecho sa'aretz. You are the king. You are the God. Atah asisa sashmayim vesa'aretz. Hate elakai aznecho shema. We say this in Tachnun. Bekach Hashem einecha re'ei. Open up your ears. Open up your eyes. Please listen to us. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out the parallels between this and our tefillah of Tachanun. There are certain midrashim that talk about, there's an Elio Zuta, the Mishmas Ozov here collects the midrashim that discusses, was this a, it seems like, you read the Pesukim, it seems like a beautiful, amazing tefillah. Some midrashim say that maybe he didn't have the lowliness, the anava, feeling like broken. He's medaber lefnei melech malchei hamlachim, not like an ani, who is in a poor state. But the Mishnah Zav explains, based on all the bitachon that he had, maybe he knew the bitachon was going to happen. He was davening because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that you have to daven in order to create the Yeshua. But he didn't have that attitude because he was on such a high level of bitachon. But either way, he davens and he says, Yud Zayin. Amnam Hashem Echrivu Malchi Asheris Agoyim Es Hartzom. V'nazar Zalayim Ba'esh. He says, please, they've destroyed all the other gods. You have to stop them. Hashem Elokeinu Hoshienu Nami Ado. V'yeidu Kol Malchus Haaretz. Why do I want the Yeshua? Not because I'm scared, but I want everybody to know, Ki Atahu Hashem Elokim Levadecha. Chizkiyahu, remember, was it Tzadik, as described, only second maybe to David and Shlomo? Chizkiyahu, the greatest in the Malchi Yehuda group, and therefore he davens, he's worried about the Kiddush Hashem and the Chilul Hashem. Vayishlach Yishayahu ben Amos al Chizkiyahu. So Chizkiyahu davens, and Yishayahu sends to him, don't worry, Zeh Adavar Shadibar Hashem Eilav, Hashem told me, Baza Lacha, Lo Aga Lacha, Besulos Bat Zion, he blasphemed you, he made fun of you, Esmiche Rafta V'Gidavta, turning to Sancheirev. Who are you blaspheming? V'amiri Mosa Kol, you know who you're messing with? Biyad Malachecha Chirafta Hashem Vatomer, and you said, I've come up, Merom Harim, I've come up to the highest of mountains, Merom Harim. Right, it's a phrase in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Rashi says that means Harabayas. It's the highest. Chazal say, Eretz Yisrael Gavoa Mikol Haratzos. And Yerushalayim is Gavoa, going up. That's why it's called Aliyah L'Regel. Many Mefarshim throughout the ages try to figure out what does that Gemara mean. Pashtus it means, Rabbi Yaakov says it right here, it means in a Ruchani sense. Doesn't mean physical. Doesn't mean the topography of Israel is the highest. But throughout the ages, there are those that took it more literally. The Radvaz has a tshuva in Chelik Bey, Simit Taf Reish Lamites. D'mikroi mashma d'harabayis ha-mikdash gavoa mi-Yerushalayim. From the psukim, it sounds like harabayis and the base of mikdash are the highest. But you see, it's not true. Ata ani roesh yuhi gavoa me-harabayis mikol svivos habayis chutz mi-saradarom she-emek yoshafat. So the Radvaz says, let me explain. Ki beis dvarim garmula, throughout history, two things caused it to get lower. V'hu ki biyos ki akum kavshu es habayis kama pa'amim. How many times has harabayis, the Temple Mount, changed hands? Umisin asamoso aru aru yisodba. They've destroyed it. They've uprooted it. They've dug it out. Because they want to uproot any vestige of connection of Am Yisrael. Arayom azeh. And they don't want it to be higher than their holy places. Ulafisha Makom Madron, and also Hagashamim Ayushotfin, rain could wash away some of the levels. So yes, I believe that it is higher, but there are just it's inherently higher, but it could be just that it was affected by human hands. Gam Yerushalayim Nechrava Kama Pa'amim Umapoles Habatim Nasatel Uburova Yamim Nechbasha Makamahu. As we know, houses and civilizations, all different levels. That's what they caused. They changed the levels, the topography, and therefore it can be higher inherently, even though not Lamaisa. So, but that's what's referred to in these two words, Merom Harim. Sancheirev says, I've come up to the highest of the mountains to be able to take it and to conquer it. Yo'achav Dalid, Ani Karti Vishasizi Mayim Zarim, I've dug water. I have a lot going for me. I have troops. Halo Shamata. So now Yishayahu says to him, Halo Shamata Lamei Rachok, Osa Asisi, Lamei Mekedem. You heard from afar. What does that mean? Rashi says he knew the Nevuah, that there was going to be a king of Asher to come attack. But, says the Navi, Chav Zayin, Vishiftacha, Vitzeischa, Boacha Yadati, I know everything you're doing. You're just a pawn. You're a tool. Don't think that you're doing anything on your own, just like Mitzrayim didn't do anything on their own. That was just a fulfillment of Bris Ben Abasarim, and they went overboard. The Ramban's discussion on the Bris Ben Abasarim in Sefer Bereishis, where he discusses, yeah, they were fulfilling what Hashem said, but they went way beyond, because they didn't see themselves as a kli anymore, right? They saw themselves independent, right? The Ber Yosef is an unbelievable pshat, the beginning of Sefer Shmos. The difference why a snake and why a mate acts only based on the one holding the mate. A snake acts independently. So that's what Moshe was telling Mitzrayim. You think that you're just a mate of God? No, you act like a snake. You act independently. Same thing with Sancheirev here. You think that you're fulfilling a prophecy? No, you're angering Hashem. V'samti chachi ba'pecha u'miski b'sfasecha. I'm going to put a harness. I'm going to put a guard on your mouth and on you, and I will lead you to wherever I want you to be led to. We've mentioned in the past a gra in Parshas Balak, where there the Medrash discusses two types of muzzles that Hashem put on Bilam and the significance of that. So here too, if you remember that gra in Kol Eliyahu, the same ideas can be mentioned here. V'zelecha ha'os, pasach haftes, Rashi says, now Yishayahu turns to Chizkiyahu and says, you will see that you will have plenty to eat, and that will be a siman of what if, that's going to be siman that everything I'm saying is true. V'yavsva pleitas beis Yehuda hanishara, beautiful pasuk in pasuk lamed shorish lamata va'asa pri lamala. Bnei Yisrael are going to take roots from below and produce fruit from above. Kimi Yerushalayim teisei sheiris ufleita mehar tzion kinas Hashem tzvakos tasezos. Hashem's going to do this. Interesting, we have kri and ksivs in various places in Shas. Here is a kri and a ksiv on Hashem's name. Hashem tzvakos. Right, that is a kri and a ksiv. Lachen, Hashem then turns to Melech Asher and says, don't think you're going to be able to accomplish anything. You are just going to go back because I am protecting my city. V'ganosia le'ir azos lahoshia l'ma'ani u'l'ma'an David Avdi. I'm doing it for me and for David HaMelech, my servant. And here it is, the last three psukim in the parak. Short, but powerful. V'hi b'lai lahu, it was that night. What night? That night. B'lai lahu, the Radak says, it was Leil HaSeder. Leil HaSeder, the Medrash. There's a Medrash that says that there were really four actions, four events that happened on Leil HaSeder night throughout history. The Medrash says, Shtayim biyad banel shal Rachel, Ushtayim biyad banel shal Leah. Two, this is in the Yalkut in Megillas Esther. Right, two, in the hands of Rachel, children of Rachel, two Leah. What happened? What were they? Makas Bechoros and Mapelas and Cherev. That's in the hands of Leah. Right, Yehuda, and Moshe's from Levi. Umapelas Gidon, v'Haman, biyad banel shel Rachel. Right, Haman's from Mordechai, Binyamin, and Gidon. Right, from the, so these four unbelievable Yeshuos happened the night of Pesach. Obviously, Makas Bacharos, our case, Sancherev, Gidon, and Haman, that also happened, as we know, he was hung on Pesach. So, v'hi b'alai lahu, v'yeitze malach Hashem. A malach Hashem went out, v'yach b'machana Ashur. He hit the king of the camp of Ashur, killing 185,000 soldiers. There are a number of discussions in the Gemara, Sanhedrin Sadi Dala, Sanhedrin Sadi Hey, a couple of other places. Number one, how exactly were they killed? So the Gemara has five or six suggestions. Some say it was like Nadav and Avihu. Their bodies were whole, but they were just burned. And the Gemara has a couple of other suggestions. Were they killed through the mouth? Were they killed through, right? All different opinions that are brought here in Sanhedrin, Tzadi, Hey, Amid Beis. All of these dafim. Be'etzpa he came, Be'yad he came, Be'chotman nashafahem. All different opinions. Obviously, a lot of symbolism. The Mefarshim deal with how they were killed. How many were left afterwards? Also a couple of different opinions. How many were left? 4, 5, 15. One of the opinions is that it was only Sancheriv, his two sons, Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzradon, which are amazing that they saw this unbelievable miracle and it did not affect them for the next time. The Gemara also in Sanhedrin compares and contrasts Paro and Sancheriv. The Gemara says, on the bottom of Tzadi Dalid Amid Aleph, Tana, Mishmei de Reb Shua ben Karcha, Paro blasphemed God himself, so Hashem paid him back himself. Sancheriv, that blasphemed God through a shliach, Rav Shekei, Hashem paid him back through a shliach. Paro said, Mi Hashem, so Hashem, by Yanar, Hashem is Mitzrayim. But Sancheriv did it through a shliach, so Hashem paid him back through a shliach. Machlokas Rashi Maharsha, which is worse? Rashi says Sancheriv was worse. He didn't say it himself, he said the shliach, a lowly shliach to be a mavad, that's even worse. Right, it's even worse, Sancheriv was worse than Paro. The Maharsha says, no, just the opposite. No, it's that you do it yourself, that's even worse. Okay, the Medrash, different Medrash, not the Gemara, the Medrash compares them. The Gemara, the Medrash in Seder Olam, in Perachav Gimel, quotes, Tzadikim Tchilasan Meriva Vesofan Simcha, Rishayim Tchilasan Simcha Vesofan Meriva. And the two examples given for the Rishayim are Paro. Paro starts off, Li Yo'rivani Sitani, and at the end, he's swallowed up by the Yam. Sancheriv starts off, Mi B'chol Haratzos, who is as great as me, and his own sons kill him in the end. But again, there's a lot of symbolism to this whole discussion. Again, we mentioned the Gemara that this could have been Gog u'Magog, and Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach if he had sung Shira. What pshat of that? Why didn't he sing Shira? Maybe we'll touch on that Bezrat Hashem in the next parak. But let's just finish up. They all went, and they were pegarim meisim. They were dead. Vayisa, vayelach, vayashav, Sancheriv, melech Asher. Sancheriv leaves. Right, he's kept alive. That's part of his onesh, to see what happened. Then he goes back to Nineveh. Go back to Nineveh, and Divra Yamim, two words are added. Beboshes punim. Right, embarrassment. Right, he was surrounded, he was the greatest king, and he comes back with nothing. Vayihu, and what does he do? Unbelievable. He doesn't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He goes back to worship his Avodah Zarah. Beis Nisroch Elohav. He goes back. His sons then kill him. Why do his sons kill him? The Radak here quotes the Medrash that the Sancheriv was wondering, what makes these Jews tick? What is their schus? So some tell him, well, their forefather brought he was ready to give his son as an Akedah. So he decided, okay, I'm going to give my children as an Akedah. So that's why his son said, no. And they went and they killed him before he was able to do it. They ran away. And this was the end of the battle of Sancheriv and Kal Yisrael. It wasn't really a battle, right? They didn't do anything. They were, the Gemara talks about it, they were busy saying Shira and Hallel during the Seder at the time that Sancheriv's men were all being killed. Okay, this was the second parak of Chizkiyo. But next time we get into the next parak of Chizkiyo when he was sick and the story with Yeshayahu ben Amos. Okay, we'll stop here.